A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Are we ready, team?
As ever.
Okay.
Do we want a clap from everyone?
Yeah, go on then. I enjoyed your exuberant clap. Lucky me! I like the rotating clap, yeah, everyone. Nice. Come to the Patreon and see Aiden's rotating clap in Cinemas Friday.
I think you can go to get a cream for that.
Yeah.
If you like a lot of wrestling in your July, join our Cultaholic.com month in review.
Hey, you've done it.
We've done it. Welcome
it's the
in.
End of a month.
As we know it, we feel fine. This is where we get together and look at some of the weird and wonderful, the big and the small, the tall and the overall bizarreness that is wrestling in July of 2023. I can't do it on my own. I'm just a mere fake Geordie and radio presenter without portfolio. We do it with Cultaholic's very own Fraser Porter.
What's happening, Tom? I've actually got a question for you. What does the without portfolio aspect mean?
I don't have my own show, per se.
Okay, cool, because I thought maybe you've just not got a CV. I've got nothing.
Now, as a swing jock, okay. There's no show that is mine. That's a circumstance that may change for the better or the worse, depending on how the changes to BBC Local Radio go in the next few weeks. But we will touch on that as we come to it. Thank you, Fraser Porter, for being back with us. We missed you last week.
Yeah, it was a fun. There's a reason I was away. We'll get onto it later.
We certainly will.
Back again.
But back and breaking an unbreakable record here is, of course, we can't do it without the Cultaholic.com tribal editor in chief. Acknowledge the past. It's Aiden Gibbons.
I'm the real OG here.
Said in a way that no real OG would ever say it. I'm the real OG here. Said like you've never ever described yourself as an OG ever.
Well, no, I don't think I have, but it's the first time for everything.
You can't, but you can do it here. You can do whatever you want. This is your show.
This is literally my show.
We are just here to inhibit you.
Yeah.
In a way.
It's to give you an audience.
It's literally a way just to get me away from writing on a computer for 2 hours a month. Just like, yeah, fuck it, we'll go and do this.
You know how the medical officer said you need some time away from your screen?
Yeah.
This is your time away from your screen.
2 hours a month.
2 hours a month. Not typing. Yeah. You get to sit here and talk about wrestling.
Just for good behaviour.
Go home, I'm just sat there still typing.
Yeah. Consume all the wrestling.
What has been the non-wrestling highlight of your month, Aiden?
Oh, I've done so much. So, as we'll get to, basically, like, this podcast is going to be terrible because I've had 2 weeks off. You've had the time off as well, Tom, and even Fraser's had, I think, 9 days off.
Have I?
Yeah, you had 3 days off. I had a lot of time for
What a great way to kick off the podcast. This is going to be a terrible podcast. Yeah.
That's why people are here.
So I did so much because I was basically off, like, the whole middle of the month. So we had mine and Carl as my fiance's engagement party. Where you didn't come, neither of you, so that's terrible of you both.
Wow. I just don't like you.
Yeah.
Just not a fan. So we owe you a dinner, though. We said we'd take you out for dinner
we'll go
at some
for dinner.
Point.
But we got very drunk. I got a bath tray. It was lovely.
You had a bath tray?
My friend got kicked out of McDonald's because he was so drunk.
A bath tray, though? Go back to that.
Yeah, let's rewind. You can't just say I had a bath tray anyway. Something else.
I know, I got given a bath tray. It's like a tray that you put along the bath.
So I thought this was an alcoholic thing that where you've gone.
But what, like a drink?
Yeah,
no.
Bath tray. No, you got a tray so you can sit in the bath and type about wrestling.
Yeah, I've got a photo. It looks like it's like
they're
a
really
transfer
good.
Deadline
they're
day
really
deal. Yeah. So we had that. My friend got kicked out of McDonald's, another fun activity.
Oh, what did? Why?
Because he was pissed and fell asleep.
Oh, okay. Which McDonald's?
The one on Northumberland Street in Newcastle upon Tyne.
Classic. Great McDonald's.
Oh, look, there it is. Look, it looks like it's been transferred.
Rachel's got that one.
Has she?
Yeah, it's good.
Where'd you get it from?
I don't.
That's
don't
lovely.
Know.
Yeah.
But it is a nice bath tray.
It's a nice gift, that is.
I haven't used it yet. Carla will use it more than me. I don't really do baths.
I love a bath.
I'm just sort of like, I don't want to sit in my own filth.
I love sitting in my own filth.
I just find a bath boring after. I'm like, right, cool, I'm clean. I've got other things to do.
You both said the reasons why Alex hates baths. Mm. Don't want to sit in my own filth and bored.
Yeah, because I'm, you know, like, if you're in there for what, at least, there's no point running a bath to be in there for 5 minutes.
No, you've got to, you know, that's a nice...
How long would you have a bath, if you're a bath man?
I'm a bath man.
Until you're filthy and delighted.
I'm filthy and delighted.
How long was your
45
average?
Minutes to an hour.
45 minutes to an hour.
It's not cold all the time you're getting out.
I keep putting a bit more hot water in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But then, what do you do when you're in the bath?
I will read a book.
Okay.
I'll put on a bit of Enya, listen to Orinoco Flow, have a little sleep.
Yeah.
I don't switch off very often.
Have a sleep.
Have a sleep.
Yeah. What if you drown?
Well, then I won't wake up. Be the best sleep ever. Some would say I'm open for it.
I'm always like, oh, I could be sat playing PlayStation or I could be watching a TV show.
Yeah.
I could have a shower, dry, and watch the TV.
We live in a time, Fraser Porter, where you could play PlayStation in the bath.
That is true.
That would probably electrocute me if I took the PlayStation.
No. Don't take your toaster in with you.
I could do it cloud. I could stream it.
You can.
But I could do that in the shower. My phone's waterproof.
That's even worse! Because the rain water's all constantly pouring on
it's
you.
Waterproof the phone.
So if Fraser's ever late for work, it's because he stood up right in the shower.
Playing Call of Duty.
Or Rage Shadow Legends. Just got that out of the go.
Right, so what else did I do?
Yeah, what did you do?
Oh, yeah, so that was my birthday.
Mm. Happy birthday.
Thank you. I'm now 27. Well, prime of my footballing career. Well, excellent, because the prime of footballing career.
Yep.
But yeah, another year to 30.
Come on in.
Yeah.
What a fun.
Then it was Carla's birthday. And then, it was Carla's graduation too. I can't forget about
that. A busy month.
I know. And then I just chilled for a week and it was lovely. Oh, our highlight of the month is, do you know them claw machines at arcades?
Oh, I do.
I won something on them.
Which one?
I went to the one at the Metro Centre.
Oh, it used to be Namco.
Namco, yeah.
Is it still Namco?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So we went. I wanted a Mario thing, but there was a child there, so we couldn't go on that one. But I want to
boot him off.
Kick the child.
But I want a Grogu, the Baby Yoda thing. Yeah. First try.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
They're usually rigged, don't they?
Yeah, yeah. So the whole point is that you can't win. But £1 in. Grogu
nothing.
Away.
I mean, nothing was stopping the editor in chief.
It's just downhill from here, isn't it?
Yeah. The rest of the year is going to be terrible.
Fraser Porter, what was your non-wrestling highlight of the month? Because you were on holiday.
Had a lot on this month. Did we count Money in the Bank?
Yeah,
that was
July.
That was July. Was that
July 1st?
Okay. Is that a holiday? I don't know.
I was went Money in the Bank. That was pretty cool. Then went on holiday to Mull. That was also fun.
Annual trip to Mull.
You'd have to explain what Mull is to people.
It's a place in Scotland. It's an island in Scotland where there's nothing on it. There's nothing apart from Balamory. the actual real life Balamory is on there, Tobermory. Then I was down in London this past week because it was Rachel's birthday. There's lots of birthdays in the
lots of birthdays.
In the vicinity.
Lots of people shagging in November, December.
Yeah, it's cold, isn't it?
Yeah, there was. So Rachel's birthday was this week, so I was down there for that. We went to Brighton, and we also went to one of the claw machine places on Brighton Pier.
Did you win?
We didn't, because we were like, right, we'll go on the roller coaster and the rides that are there, and then it bucketed down with rain. It was bouncing off the ground. It was a big storm. It was chaos. We went inside. We were like, oh, we'll go on the claw machine. Everyone was packed. It was like apocalyptic. It was like a zombie apocalypse had happened, and everyone was just... It was like the Day After Tomorrow.
Or the end of Zombieland.
But it was good. It was a good time. We spent far too much money on food and all the sorts. Oh, and we got Taylor Swift tickets.
Hey!
Yes, very buzzing about that.
You did very well too.
I know, like, impossible to get.
We got very lucky. We got two tickets to two nights. So
bloody hell. Yeah. All right. Someone's doing
you
fine.
You got on your pre on your pre-sale code, you got four tickets. So we got our four tickets but two nights.
Nice. Wembley. Nice.
Not going all in. My debut at Wembley is Taylor Swift.
Your debut at Wembley is Taylor Swift.
Yep.
So I had we had a couple of weekends celebrating friends with
show.
Us. Not sadly not. No. So very good friend of ours, more Alex than mine. I can take a lever.
Big wrestling fan.
Big wrestling fan. I might send her this anyway. A big friend of ours, Tamsin, left the Northeast to go to Cyprus to go work for BFBS Radio. Ooh. In Cyprus. So we had like a leaving evening for her, like leaving drinks and a little pub crawl around Newcastle. I didn't get drunk, right? I had a few beers as we went around. But somehow on this night, I managed to drop and smash 2 pints.
What, just while sober?
Talking and... on two occasions, being quite animated whilst I spoke, knocked my own pint out of my hand and smashed it. On two occasions. Okay. On after the 2 minutes after the second occasion, as I was heading towards the bar, I tripped on somebody's stool and stumbled onto a seat next to Alex, to which Alex went, "Do we need to go home?" I said, "No, I'm not even drunk." But of course, that's what you would say if you weren't drunk. But... And it was frustrating because for all intents and purposes, I looked like I was pissed.
How much did you had by that point?
18 pints. No, I probably had about 3, so, maybe 4 pints.
So one by the time you dropped the other two.
I'd had a pint and then dropped my second, then bought my second, had my third, dropped my fourth, had my fourth. So I didn't like, it wasn't like a mental night out.
Had you had much food?
Yeah, I ate before I went. I clearly remember the whole evening. I think I was just maybe talking with my hands quite a bit. That caused a bit.
Or you were spiked.
Yes.
I never thought of that.
We can't rule out hard drugs.
We can't rule out hard drugs, certainly not with my reputation.
Yeah.
And then the other weekend, we went to go and see Kinky Boots at the Newcastle Theatre Royal.
Great musical.
It's a great musical. My woman of honour for our wedding, Jojo Hatfield, played Trish.
Nice.
So it was a nice way to go and support our friend. We made it a date night. I was adamant that the ticket said start time 7:30. It was a start time of 7. So we had to sneak in.
Oh, did you just turn up late?
We turned up half an hour late.
Oh, no. You missed quite a bit then.
Yeah, I've seen Kinky Boots before, okay. So I knew the plot, but it was just not getting a chance to see. I want to see as much as my mate Jojo as I could.
Yeah.
But otherwise, it was a lovely night. I'm praying for the winter. For the clocks to change.
Winter's coming.
Winter is coming. Because I am sick to the back teeth of my cat, Pablo.
Mein Kampf.
Oh, who isn't? It's a long old book. Hayden. Of all the people to mention something based on Nazi war history, I wasn't expecting it to be Fraser.
Hey, I've been reading the book Fatherland recently by Robert Harris.
Hitler is on your mind.
Yeah, you were always on my mind. I'm waiting for the winter check because then the clocks change and then the mornings get darker because I'm sick to the back teeth out of my cat, Pablo, scratching on my side of the bed at 3:45 in the morning going, it's breakfast time.
At 3:45.
Every morning. Yeah, he's like, come on then, Dad, ready to go. And
get blackout curtains, that'll confuse him.
Might be the way we have to go. Mm.
Yeah. I suppose, though, in winter, he'll get annoyed as you're scratching on his bedpost. Being like, come on, cat, it's time to go.
I'm going to annoy the shit out of him. Yeah. When come on, mate, off we go. Did my edit, but otherwise,
is that why you're up early this morning?
Because you saw I posted the news at like half five in the morning
because Pablo's just irritating you.
Pablo's like, come on, Dad, you've got to write about what Triple H said about AEW,
yeah, exactly.
Cheers, mate.
We're on the stops.
Appreciate that. And we had some other, but mostly other wrestling things that happened this month, but which we'll get into as we look at the big wrestling stories of July of 2023, including, let's kick off at the start, where Fraser Porter spent the first weekend of July in that landing with Money in the Bank.
No, first Tom.
First Tom, don't. Whoa.
Oh, hang on a minute.
First Tom, we've got our monthly telegram from the office of R.A.J. Atkins.
Okay.
So this telegram reaches us from Bourbon Street, New Orleans, Louisiana.
Wow, he's travelled.
He starts off, all right. As Aidan Gibbons decided to take time off this month, Muggins here was entrusted with the website for a whole fortnight. A fortnight in which a bugger all happened in the wrestling world, unless you were an Impact Wrestling main eventer. Speaking of Impact, Slammiversary is good, and you should all watch Impact more because they're nice. I'll be in town next month. Mine's a pint of Bovril. And then he ends it with Uncle Travelling Match from Jim Henson's beloved Fraggle Rock.
Oh, wow! That's a reference and a half.
I've got no idea what that is.
Travelling Matt was the guy who was right back to the Fraggles and go, I'm in Louisiana, it's shit here. Like, he report back on the real world to the Fraggles.
What's the Fraggles?
What do you mean, what are the Fraggles?
I'm thinking, what the
Fraggle Rock?
What are the Fraggles? Jim Henson's Muppets.
Same thing.
I know the Wobbles.
Fraggle Rock, dance your cares away. Worries for another day. Let the music play. Dad, you're being pieces of shit.
No, genuinely.
You don't know what Fraggles are.
What's the Fraggles?
No Fraggle idea. Rock.
No, I know the Muppets, but I don't know Fraggles.
You're being pieces of shit.
I don't what's
no,
the Fraggles?
No, you're working me.
We know Plymouth Rock.
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's Plymouth Rock made out of felt.
It's where
the
set.
Was it an adult version of the Muppets where they swear?
Yeah, they swore and drank and fucked all the time.
Wow.
Worth checking out.
Wow. So UQ.
Yeah. Having UQ and R. Thank you to Jack Atkins. You know what? That must have taken a while to arrive because he said, I'm in town next month. He means this month.
Yes.
Because we're recording this on August the 1st. You're hearing it on August the 1st. What a turnaround that is on the
tell
edit.
Tell a lie. He did send it July 26th, 2023.
Wow. Ah, so, okay.
5 days by post.
Yep. Well, that's a bad postage.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Jack Atkins. We will see you in the office very soon. About time you put a shift in. But right now, let's take a look at some of the big wrestling stories of the month, including, we'll start at the very beginning, your trip, Fraser Porter, Dan London for well, Money in the Bank.
Yodi London Town, didn't
London
I?
London Town.
Big old Money in the Bank. Money in the Bank, you know, we had wrestling on, and it was the only wrestling show that's going to be good this year in London. Yeah, you're all right, darling.
It's not bad, that is. Aiden's going to give us like the rundown of what happened, and then we want to get Fraser Porter's
play-by-play
of the ooh, time
yes.
in London.
Well, I have to go through what year and all sorts. I'm very interested there.
Not much.
But yeah, so, so we started off the show in the O2 at London. With Damian Priest winning Money in the Bank to feed LA Knight, that man Logan Paul, Butch, Shinsuke Nakamura, Santos Escobar, and Ricochet. I mean, going into the show, we all kind of thought LA Knight was going to win. He's like the hottest guy on WWE TV right now. He's a very sexy man. We thought, here we go. He's a favorite with the bookies. Everyone in attendance. Man. I mean, it was like the reception for him was unbelievable.
Yeah.
And then it looked like he was going to win. They zoomed the camera in. We thought, here we bloody go. About to grab it, and then Damon Priest's hand appears from out of nowhere and breaks hearts around the world. He then hits an end. Broken arrow off the ladder. LA Knight dies, and then Damon Priest wins, becoming Mr. Money in the Bank.
Surprise that.
Yeah, it was a shock. We were all crying. There was tears. People just.
You were sat next to Ross, weren't you, when that went down?
It was a sad moment.
Inconsolable.
Still not recovered. Still not recovered.
Crying into his £50 bottle of wine, apparently.
Yeah. It's like, don't dilute the drink any further.
Yeah, it was a weird twist, that was. It seemed like a very open goal to give LA Knight the Money in the Bank. Yeah. And I'm getting the vibe that either they've got a really big plan for him or they're just sort of freewheeling it now.
Story never ends, Tom. This was merely a little chapter in the book of LA Knight.
Because, like, LA Knight's a favourite and Damian Priest was the second favourite in terms of what we think of WWE, like, internal reactions. Because Priest has been impressing them, apparently, and the idea was that they see him as, like, a future main event guy. So I was like, that's fair enough, but you could have got Priest up there a different way. You could have just given the briefcase to LA Knight. Because I thought he would have been great with it.
Mm.
Just doing stuff.
Although, again, you could argue that the other way, Damian Priest, this adds a whole new wrinkle to the Judgment Day.
Mm.
And as we've seen since, it sort of added a little bit more tension there. LA Knight can also, he might not need the briefcase. It really, in hindsight, this could be all outdated within a week. But in like 5-6 months' time, if he's on the top of the card, he wouldn't have needed the briefcase to just use that momentum that the crowd are behind him naturally. The crowd isn't as behind Damian.
That is true.
So, I don't know. It was gutting.
It wasn't a nice moment.
No. To kick off Money in the Bank.
Yeah. But from there, we got a shocking heel turn where Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez, they defeated Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler. A largely nothing match until Shayna Baszler turned on Ronda Rousey and everyone went, I can't believe that's happened.
Face turn or heel turn?
I don't know, because
just a turn, isn't it?
Just a turn.
Like, it seems
betrayal.
Like
there we go. Betrayal.
They want to position Ronda as the face. Right.
But also the heel.
Then no one cheers her. She's still acting heelish, but she's the one that they're going, no, you should cheer her. You should cheer her.
Well, apparently she's leaving soon, isn't she? She's got a hard out date for after SummerSlam.
Yeah.
So I think the sort of idea there, she'll put up a beta, then just go back to her ranch and have cheese.
It does seem like it's been quite rushed.
Oh, very much so.
Because
yeah.
it felt like at some point they were going to have Ronda and Shayna maybe, you know, split in twain yeah. and go and fight each other. But like, it seemed like they were like just getting the ball rolling with the women's tag division.
Yeah.
Even like the morning before we spoke to Shayna Baszler, she was sort of like, yeah, we've fought for these titles for a long time. Like, we want these to be a center focus of the women's division. They mean more when they're around our waist. And it's like 16 hours later, and then it's like, it's done. It's not a thing anymore.
I think the original idea was they would have won it either before or like around WrestleMania. That was the plan. But yeah. of course, Ronda was injured and couldn't do anything for months. Mm. So because she's got that hard out date, I think they just rushed it and tried to get a Baszler getting put over, and that's
yeah.
it.
That's probably why they've gone that way. Gunter.
Yes. So
was a big slappy boy.
So Gunter was a bit slappy boy, and he beat Matt Riddle to retain the Intercontinental title. I mean, I had quite high expectations heading the match because of what they've done in the past, particularly the British independent wrestling scene. Mm-hmm. But the main thing wasn't so much the match. It was that afterwards, while Gunter celebrating, Drew McIntyre returns after months of speculation and rumours about his future. We don't know what is going to happen long term. He still hasn't signed a new deal. We think he'll be around until after WrestleMania 39, but for the moment he's around, having agreed to create for the days before the show, because he basically wanted something meaningful, and everybody went, do you want to fight Gunn? And he just went, yeah.
That's meaningful.
That's meaningful.
It was a cool moment to have him return in the UK. Obviously, big London boy Drew McIntyre.
Famous Welshman Drew McIntyre.
Welshman Drew McIntyre. He's still not had a return in Scotland. It needs to happen. But yeah, I'm excited to see him back. Him and Gunther will have a great match. I thought the match was actually really, really, really good in person, and I think that was an aspect of it where it was hard hitting, and you could hear it because the crowd were allowing the silence to breathe in it. Mm. But yeah, I'm excited to see Drew pass WrestleMania 40 next year. Like, it's going to be nice to have him locked down for a bit.
Yes.
Yeah.
John Cena rocking up.
Yeah, so I was sat there just writing up Drew's return. I was furious. Everything going on. I had to sit there and write furious. All sorts. And then John Cena's music comes
on. You just hear,
then Mario comes out. And
let's go.
And then John Cena comes out. Talks about how much he loves London, how much he loves human beings. And then basically, eventually, he just campaigns for...
Hello, humans. Hello, humans. I'm here.
I, a fellow human, also love human beings. Give me some of that delicious drink and some tasty food.
But then eventually just starts campaigning for WrestleMania in London, which we're all like, well, he wouldn't say that if they were going to do WrestleMania in London.
No.
What's going on here? And what we've heard since is, hey, it might happen. Well, I guess we'll find out.
It was brought up in Parliament.
Yeah.
After John Cena.
The APPG for professional wrestling brought it up. It just felt like WWE going, we need someone that isn't around all the time, mention WrestleMania in London, that gets the government to pay us lots of money to bring WrestleMania to London. It was a very cool moment, though, having John Cena return. And I felt really, like a week before I'd said to Adam, I was like, Cena's coming back at Money in the Bank. It happened.
Oh.
I'm a prophet.
Well, he was in London, wasn't he? He's doing a movie with Priyanka Chopra and I think Idris Elba.
Yes, they were filming in Croydon for a while.
Mm.
But the I was like, he'll turn up. He's going to be there. He's going to be there. And wow. He was. So you want the lottery numbers?
This is the quote from Alex Davis-Jones, who's a Member of Parliament in the UK, following the announcement of John Cena's push for WrestleMania in the UK. She spoke to BBC Newsbeat and said, I'd love for it to happen. The APPG have already been talking about how we can help to make that happen in whatever way we can in terms of facilitating some conversations. Whatever we can do to make UK attractive to host wrestling on the world stage, we're more than happy to help facilitate. We'll use our contacts and negotiating skills to try and reach out to WWE, making conversations happen to try and promote the UK as a premier destination for world-class wrestling. So it doesn't look like... It looks like they were caught off guard by it. They're like, I think my dad's got John Cena in his phone. I'll give him a ring.
Just get Triple H on the old blower. You'll be all right.
Yeah.
Send him an email.
Call Triple H.
I think we'll eventually see it, but I think we're looking, WrestleMania 43, 44, by the time the government goes, yeah, let's bring it to London, and for enough time to pass from All In so that they can be like, it's a little bit distance.
It's what we're thinking. Do we think they're doing it because of the success of All In?
I think I wouldn't be surprised if there is a little bit of that. And the reasoning behind it isn't what people think it is. I think they know that the UK is very much a hotbed, and they always draw good crowds for in when American wrestling comes over here. I mean, we'll talk about All In a second. I certainly think that All In and the incredible number that it's drawn has expedited
them doing it.
Mm-hmm. And keen to kind of take some of the shine off that and onto them hosting Mania.
Yeah.
Because all they'd have to do in order to beat whatever number All In do is do a two-night WrestleMania at Wembley Stadium.
And they've got a fake number.
Oh, give me, yeah, just like a million people came to Money in the Bank.
It's a million.
Source, me, million people. I think that's it. They just do a two-night Mania and they've beaten it
like
twice over.
We doubled you, wankers, then just not swearing at the camera and all that.
Yeah. That's just, kind of it.
It's a tough time to do it because the only option's what? Wembley?
That's Wembley.
And the Millennium Stadium.
Villa Park.
But even the Millennium Stadium, when they did that, only had, there was, I think there was 54,000 people when
they did the Clash at the Castle. 80.
Okay, they just didn't set it up
for 80. So Wembley's the biggest one, but also at WrestleMania in April in the UK with an open roof.
It's going to rain.
It's August and it's pouring. You know,
WrestleMania.
It's a bit worrying that they might get rained out. And that's actually the same for All In. We're a month away. And
they've got a retractable roof?
Only over the crowd.
Only over the crowd. The ring will get wet.
And we're a month away and I don't think we've had a sunny day.
For about three weeks
and consistent sun.
Haven't WWE sort of figured that out before where they've done stadium events and they had like that setup where they had like a ring ring?
Which
I thought looked nice.
Like a gazebo.
Yeah, like a gazebo over it.
Just give the notes as ponchos.
Joe, you still got your poncho, lad. Get it on. Okay, so John Cena.
So from
Big
there,
shout.
We had the women's Money in the Bank ladder match.
Yeah.
Where Io Sky won. She defeated Becky Lynch, Zoe Stark, Trish Stratus, Zelina Vega, and Bayley. Not much to really say beyond that. Io Sky was the hot favourite, and she did indeed win.
Right choice as well.
Yeah.
And then main event time. I mean, and shocking, but not shocking just because it actually happened, but the Usos defeated Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa in the Bloodline Civil War, where Jey Uso actually pinned Roman Reigns. It's been so long since Roman Reigns was pinned that I've never had to write about it.
Yeah.
Like,
when did you join the company?
So I joined in November, and Roman was last pinned in December 2019.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's insane. It's actually insane.
And that was always the thing with Roman Reigns, is that kind of there's two key losses, or two key moments you can get from Roman, which is his first pinfall and taking the belts from him. And we've had one of the two now, which is the pinfall.
And it was a big, big moment. The crowd was in shock.
Yeah.
It's insane. We're like, oh my God, right, okay, cool. What are we doing now? What the fuck has just happened?
But how amazing, though. And it's one of those things, the likes of which I don't know if we'll ever see again, to have a guy who is on that level to the point where even him losing a match is like a title change.
Yeah, like he's basically like Hulk Hogan of today, basically.
Yeah, and I don't know if we'll ever get that again in our lifetimes, which I think is amazing.
Yeah, it'll take a long time until they can, I don't want to say recycle the storyline, but go, here's an undefeated champion for 3+ years.
Yeah.
Mm. If they do it again within the next 10 years, that's too soon.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a once in a lifetime.
After beat him, The Rock comes back. I don't know.
Jamie, right now, I do think The Rock is back at SummerSlam.
Yeah,
you did predict John Cena.
Exactly, and as well, The Rock can't do anything because of the strikes right now, so he'd come back to wrestling. That's not true.
Hadn't even thought of that.
Like, we don't know how long the strikes are going to last.
He's got nothing on him, mate,
got nothing.
I hadn't even thought of that.
But yeah, Money in the Bank was good. Money in the Bank was great.
So, In Aiden's notes here, it says, Fraser, tell us about your first time in the big city.
My first time in the big city.
In the city.
I've been to London.
I've been to London every two, three weeks,
yeah.
That's what you say you do. I don't think you do.
I've never been, yeah. So the first time in the big city, it was a nice experience. It was good fun. It was big. We were in Canary Wharf. We met lots of nice people. Thank you to everyone that said hello. Thank you for everyone that got involved with doing the shorts content that's going out on the channel in the next few weeks. We ate lots of nice food.
What food did you have?
We went to...
What did you have for breakfast?
I had one day I had a McDonald's.
Fair.
I had a breakfast roll with hash browns.
A roll?
Yeah.
Like a McMuffin?
But a roll.
Oh.
It's like the breakfast. Yeah, it's really good.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Bloody hell.
But it's all of them on the roll. It's wild. It's a whole new experience and you need to try it. Then we had a dishoom for dinner.
Oh, yes. Very good Indian
place. Oh, dishoom's there.
Very
nice.
Yeah, I got the mutton stir fry.
Oh, fantastic.
Incredible. Then the next day we had a Chipotle. No, we had a
God, you ate like kings.
We had a Shake Shack the next day for lunch.
This is the difference maker of going to a WWE event just after payday. Just, payday Playboys
just
over there.
All your money.
It's reasonably priced.
What Shake Shack? Is that just milkshakes?
It's just burgers.
Oh.
Burgers and milkshakes. Which is like, it's like Five Guys, it's like £10 for a burger and chips. Then we had a Chipotle the next day. So that, to be fair.
You must have spent the week on the loo.
To be fair, that's all I ate.
Just that's a lot of oily fat.
I don't go curry and
curry. And
don't poo in a toilet you don't trust. Keep that in until you get home.
Fraser Porter's advice for the week.
Don't go. Yeah, just keep it in.
I can't. If I need to go to the toilet, I need to go to the toilet.
If you don't trust the toilet, you can't poo. That's my motto.
So what? If I wouldn't lend the toilet a fiver?
I'd keep it in until I got home. Like if I was down in London, I would...
for 3 days of having a curry, a burger, and Chipotle.
Christ!
Your inside must have been coming out your mouth.
Just,
awful.
Just keep it in.
It must have stank.
No.
You're just sweating. just sweating.
Chipotle
curry.
Sweats coming off Fraser. No, I'm holding it in.
You're don't sweating. Trust the toilet. No,
it would make me grumpy.
Yeah.
It would actually affect my mood. If I had to hold it in for 3 days.
Fueled me.
Oh, fueled you.
To be fair, I did have a toilet I trusted, just not the Chipotle.
Oh, was this at a hotel?
Back at Rachel's.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
Not even the hotel one?
I never went to the hotel.
You stayed with his girlfriend, didn't
Oh, of course you did, yeah.
Yeah, stayed at the hotel.
So God love Rachel, who got all your fucking curry flavored Chipotle plops. In her house.
It's a great week.
I'm sure Rachel would think otherwise.
£16 and Drexler, if she's bankrupt.
don't go in for your 45-minute bath.
I'm staying out of your bathroom, mate. You had some good drinks as well. I heard that I was with Dan Heppel most yesterday.
Yes.
And I think he used the word battered.
there was a few drinks had. It was a party city, you know.
Party like, city, London, you gotta have it. You gotta have a little
London
party,
baby. It was a good time. I enjoyed it.
That's lovely. You had a lovely time, and it was nice to see the back of your head during the WWE press conference.
Oh yes, we did.
I was in the press conference with you and Ross. Good fun. We did try and get a few questions. I was sitting during like the most of the show, writing questions on my phone, going, "We're gonna get one. We're gonna get one. At least one." No. We were like, "Hi, can we get?" No question.
Can we talk about how it's all a setup? Or do you think it might piss them off?
I don't think it's a setup.
I don't think it's a setup.
I don't think it's a setup.
I mean,
it's
it just, must be. Some of those questions were abysmal.
It's just that
one bloke thought Finn Balor's hometown was London. He's not even from the same fucking country. There's literal sea in the way.
Yeah, there is.
It was the guy that said Triple H... Oh, Triple H, what are your thoughts on West Ham signing?
Yeah, yeah. It was Declan Rice leaving West Ham. Yeah,
thoughts on Declan Rice leaving West Ham? And he went, it is what it is. He didn't care. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
I've just noticed something. Tom, you've got your top button done.
I've just done it up now. I don't know
you're
why.
Like, you're like an OG.
An OG? I thought Aiden was the
it's
OG.
It's not me.
I'm going to leave it,
It's
actually.
Like, you know, in the start of 22 Jump Street.
Yes.
When Jonah Hill has the shirt buttoned.
I am going to be an OG for the rest of this podcast. If you're watching on the Patreon, you've got two OGs. Fraser, you will earn OG status by the end of it, and then we'll all be OGs. What a day. LA Knight was the big name.
Yeah.
A lot of people talking about over like Rover in the United Kingdom.
Like Fraggle Rock.
Like Fraggle Rock. Everyone knows who LA Knight is. Shut up, you idiots. Now, LA Knight has been a big talking point. Not so much what he has done, but what he hasn't done.
Yeah, so, I mean, literally since WrestleMania, we've all been sort of waiting for the push. Even maybe before WrestleMania, we're just sort of thinking, he's dead popular, let's get this train moving. And we thought Money in the Bank, okay, doesn't win. And now we're sort of thinking, well, if not Money in the Bank, when are they going to do it? And what...
Big bulk. Sucky, sucky, sucky.
So
the big bottle's back.
Side
baby.
Note, the big bottle's back. But yes, LA Knight.
And if I do that, I look like Bray Wyatt with his lantern.
That is true. That's all you'll do to carry in the ring. One day when you feel really bad, do what the Americans do, where you like bite the bottom of a can and pour it in that way.
Like Stone Cold Steve Austin getting hydrated.
Right, but anyway. LA Knight, we all thought, right, we've missed Money in the Bank, here we go. And we also thought, when are they actually going to push him then? And what we've heard from Better Wrestling Experience is that they're going to renew LA Knight's push after SummerSlam. And he will be in action at SummerSlam in the Slim Jim Battle Royal.
Oh my gosh.
But what we've also heard from Pro Wrestling Talk is that Vince McMahon, despite having previously like really not liked Max Dupree there, is a big fan of LA Knight joining Triple H on the LA Knight is Mint camp. And that's basically, they concurred that a big push is on the way, but apparently he's rubbish at backstage politics. I'll just read what Wade Keller wrote, which is that Knight has a long-running reputation for rubbing people the wrong way behind the scenes and just being bad at backstage politics. Those who know him well tend to like him, and some of them have spoken up on his behalf when Knight gives a bad first impression. So I don't know what he's doing when he gives first impressions, but some people don't like him.
Yeah, it could be. It could be anything. It could be in wrestling. It could be not shaking someone's hand.
Yeah,
like it literally could be anything. So don't want to speculate on it.
But it could be not carrying someone's bags or even rubbish.
Yeah, yeah, or it could just be still being the character of LA Knight backstage and being him, not Sean.
Yeah,
like.
Well, if Sean is LA Knight, like,
yeah,
that is, like, there is that.
I think he said it was Sean said like LA Knight is just him dialed up like 120, basically.
Mm.
So it could just be folk not really getting him, as we saw Vince didn't get him at first.
Imagine him in a restaurant, just like a Chipotle, just goes, yeah, where is
meal or let me talk to
you. I ain't shit in that toilet, yeah.
Tell me, gets the waiter, can I have the bill, please? Yeah.
What was your vibe from him when you saw him at the media day?
I thought he was really nice. He came across really sort of like very well-spoken, very funny. He seemed genuinely interested, despite also making some jokes like folk going, oh, you've still got 10 more to go. He's like, oh, you know, but it seemed like it wasn't him being like, oh, for fuck's sake. It was him being in on the joke. And it just seemed like he was a nice guy that is, I don't want to say overwhelmed, that's not the right word, but just sort of like appreciative, but also like understanding that he should be doing more and people are behind him.
Mm.
He just seemed really nice. And he gave a good interview with Ross. Go check that out. It's on the channel now.
They talked about their Shoes of a Champion.
Shoes of a Champion.
Enjoys that.
Mate, he's just lovely, isn't he?
Yeah. I think there's an opportunity here to catch lightning in a bottle with him.
Yeah.
And it's interesting whether or not they do.
Lightning in a bottle.
Hey.
Oh, shit.
Where do you take him?
Chipotle.
Obviously, Chipotle.
Because I don't think you make him undisputed WWE Universal Champion, but like... there's no reason why he couldn't be world heavyweight champion.
Yeah. But like, he could be undisputed heavyweight champion, just not beating Roman Reigns.
Yeah, that is true. Could be, I don't know, James.
Because whoever beats Reigns for it, I don't think should have a long title reign because we've just had that.
Mm.
So have a quick reign. Then have LA Knight.
That's a nice idea. One person who won't be winning any titles in WWE anymore is Eric Young, who for a long time it was speculated and reported that in different measures that he was with WWE, he was ready to make an appearance, he was ready to come back on TV. We never saw him. And then the news dropped this month that he's gone.
Yeah, so very weird one with Eric Young in the sense that November 2022, December time, he's leading Vanguard by Design and Impact Wrestling, and then There was sort of tension in the group. And then what we see is he goes to the prison, which had been like a big thing around his whole latest Impact run. Was that Dina actually legitimately murdered him?
We watched him get murdered.
On TV. Mm-hmm. We watched him get stabbed to death. And then came out afterwards that he'd gone back to WWE. The rumours was that he was there. We didn't sort of know what kind of role he had before. It might be a producer thing, might be a talent. We come to find out the plan was for him to be part of the Bray Wyatt faction. That is never quite...
Like never happened. Yeah.
It's never happened because Bray Wyatt's off TV at the minute with an illness. And that was the idea. And what we come to find out was that Eric Young was planned for that, but with Vince McMahon returning as head of creative in April, basically what Eric Younger said is, I cannot work for that man on a personal, professional, and moral level.
Wow.
I think his actual words are, personally, professionally, and more importantly for me, morally, I just couldn't work there anymore.
Wow.
He said this, basically what ends up happening is he ends up returning to Impact Wrestling at Slammiversary. There was a tease that Scott D'Amore was going to bring somebody in. The plan originally was for him to team with PCO, but in typical Impact fashion, PCO was set on fire and was unable to wrestle at Slammiversary. So we get the reunion of Team Canada. Eric Young comes back, teams with Scott D'Amore, and they beat Bully Ray and Dina at Slammiversary.
Impact shows are quite wild if you don't watch them, but you only hear what happened, they're actually batshit insane.
Yeah.
Someone got set on fire. Eric Young's back from the dead after being murdered and stabbed to death. And he's just back as a happy Canadian man.
Yeah, they haven't explained how he come back to life yet, but apparently they are going to address it.
Are they really?
Yeah, they are.
It was a body double, surely. It was a fake Eric Young.
Fake Eric Young. I like that, actually.
It's his brother, Derek Young.
Derek Young.
That's who was murdered in the prison. It was Tony D'Angelo, that's who.
Tony D, he sent him to live with the... they could have done that. He sent him to swim with the fishes.
Yeah.
Mm. But it was a weird situation on that. Back when Vince was first coming back in January, you heard rumblings from town that they would quit. And of course, none of them actually did, but Eric Young actually went through with it. And as soon as Vince is back in as head of creative and April, he just thinks, this isn't worth it, and quits. Because they had issues last time in that Triple H, when Eric Young was first in WWE, really pushed him in NXT, that sort of thing. Like, he led Sanity, all this sort of stuff. Went in the main roster, Sanity went nowhere, and then he was basically just a jobber until he got released in 2020.
Yeah, Vince just didn't see just what didn't Triple get H him. Saw and didn't get it.
And Eric Young explained at the time that before he was released, he went to Vince and had a meeting with him and basically went, if you can't find anything for me to do, you're not doing your job right. Basically going, I'm good enough to be on this show. Why aren't I on this show? So it seems like he stuck up from Seth, but also on a moral level is you've got all the allegations against Vince McMahon as well.
Yeah. And I think for him, that was enough to make him move back to Impact.
And he's in his what, mid-40s now? Early to mid-40s. So like, he's not, I don't want to say he's got not long left in the ring, but if he's going, I signed this contract to be used in a big spotlight in WWE, you're going to use me, I've only got X amount of years left in the ring, may as well go to the company that values him and appreciates him and will push him as one of the guys. It's exciting to see him back in Impact.
And he started well, teaming with Scott D'Amore against Bully Ray and Dina. Scott D'Amore, can we acknowledge?
He could
what a wrestler!
Yeah.
Like, unless we forget doing the Cold Tonic Classic Raw review, there has been at least one occasion where Scott D'Amore's name has come up as a prelim dark match guy. Yeah. And I think there's an episode of Raw where he's in a jobber tag team, so like, he's got previous, yeah, obviously, previous, and he helps train a lot of the younger guys. Bhupinder Gujja, who was on Desert Island Graps the other month, was very complimentary of some of the training personally that Scott D'Amore's given him. So Scott has got
he's got it going on.
He really has. So really enjoyed seeing him back in the ring for Slammiversary. We also saw some title changes and possibly the return and the farewell of Nick Aldis at Slammiversary, didn't we?
We did. So what we heard back in April was that Nick Aldis was coming in. I mean, he returned to Impact at Rebellion. There was rumblings beforehand that there was WWE interest. We all sort of thought, okay, where's this going? Then he pops up at Impact. And, I mean, you spoke to him. You sort of, he didn't say anything like overtly, but you had an inkling.
I had a feeling in my waters when I had one of my many lovely chats with Nick Aldis, who's a lovely man. I had a feeling in my waters that this trip to Impact was for a good time, but not a long time. Because there had been a lot of conversations about Nick Aldis coming in for a role in WWE. And then the hiring freeze happened. And then he turned up in Impact. And I just like, I don't think this is going to be a long run. I think this is Nick keeping himself busy.
Yes.
For a little while.
Get a bit of money.
And it seems as if in July, WWE have started to lift the drawbridge. Or lower the drawbridge once more.
Lower the drawbridge.
Yeah.
So what we've heard, like, they've had the hiring freeze in place since January because of Vince McMahon forcing his way back into the company, then the sale to Endeavor. We're all sort of just waiting now for the WWE and, like, UFC merger to be completed, and then we're expecting sort of, like, more signings to come in. But it seems that they're starting to get ready for that. And that, I think what Meltzer said was that they will only sign somebody right at this exact moment if there's like a special case. But what we have heard is that they're telling talents, we are interested. You just got to hang on a little bit and we'll be bringing you in. So this seems to be what's tickling along right now, in that we've got Nick Aldis leaves Impact after Slammiversary. He lost to Eric Young last week on TV. That was, of course, Tate the day after Slammiversary. Mm-hmm. And what we're hearing there is he might be brought in not as a wrestler, interestingly, but as a producer, just to work behind the scenes. What we're also hearing is you've got Brian Pillman Jr. He leaves AEW. We don't know exactly. We just sort of know that he has left earlier this year, but it came out in July, mm-hmm. that he was on his way out. Second generation talent. Of course, his dad had history in WWE. What we're hearing there is the week after, comes out that he's gone from AEW, is he has a tryout at the WWE Performance Center. Must have done all right, because Body Slammer saying that he's either in the process of signing or has signed, and he'll be at the Performance Center by the end of August eating some Chipotle.
Good choice.
Outside of Brian Pillman, there was a talent that WWE didn't get.
The one that got away.
WWE for years have been interested in Roosh. Like, go back. Like, I remember when I first started writing about Roosh to possibly be a WWE when he was Ring of Honor World Champion. It's just sort of tickled along. Roosh signed a 1-year deal with AEW the summer of last year. That deal was about to expire. And basically, Tony Khan gave him a big stack of cash. And WWE knew they couldn't actually compete with that deal, to the point where they said Tony Khan's offer was insane money. That's what they told Meltzer. So Roosh is getting paid a lot more money at AEW than you would have in WWE, so he's sticking with AEW. But apparently, host of the assistant said Tony Khan's lovely and really likes checks in on Roosh's family and all this sort of stuff. So it just sounds like he's more comfortable in AEW than WWE.
He was just smart to play the two against each other to try and get that insane money.
Yeah.
Right. For the Nick Aldis thing, I feel maybe they want to bring him in as a producer because they want to sign him to a contract and they can't get him to a talent contract.
That maybe makes sense, yeah.
So that they're going, we've got you in the company, then we'll move you over when we can actually afford to spend money on talent, maybe. I don't know.
Because what we were saying, he's younger than a lot of the guys actually wrestling.
Right, he's 36.
Yeah.
Like, stupid. He should be plenty of time in the ring.
I think there is there's a concern from some about how much of a draw a guy like Nick Aldis could be within WWE's system. Mm-hmm. But it's without doubt that he's a very positive influence behind the scenes and a company guy when the company isn't the National Wrestling Alliance, mm-hmm. and a creative mind as well. So I think it's interesting that you say, like, bring him in on a staff deal and then put him on TV. To have him there as somebody that could... I genuinely, as much as I love Nick Aldis, I see him in WWE more, and I'd love to be wrong, I don't see him like holding up the Intercontinental title. I see him with a bunch of agents splitting people up.
I feel like Triple H would like his style though, right?
He would. And so like, maybe Triple H might have a different idea.
Go, this guy is, under Vince, I don't see him. I see that scenario. But under Triple H, I feel like he's maybe got a bit more... Yeah, maybe Intercontinental title, maybe tag team titles, US title, with the option of being moved up. We see it, I don't know. It's a tough one to call because he has got such a unique sort of presence compared to everything that WWE usually goes for.
Yeah.
Like, I thought, especially with Cody there, and that they've had those two matches in the past, and they're sort of, like, they haven't got similar styles, but, like, definitely more old school than a lot of the guys on the roster. Mm-hmm.
I like the idea of him being a tag team.
Yeah.
Who would you put him with?
Doug Williams.
Ah, get the lads.
It's a British invasion.
Doug's retired. He can't do it anymore.
Yeah. Oh, he's retired.
Oh. I know. We've just beat him. Let's find Nick Aldis, oddest tag team. Drew. Nick and Drew.
British invasion. I put him. him and.
Regal. Bailey Matthews.
And Americans.
Drew Gulak.
Ooh.
A fun one.
Nick Aldis and Drew Gulak.
Yeah, or put him with Chase U.
Oh, he could be like a lecturer.
He looks like a lecturer, doesn't he?
He does look like a lecturer.
But like the really mean substitute teacher that everyone doesn't want to get. Terrified of the maths teacher. It's him.
All his gimmick is he wheels down like a VHS player with one of those TV sets. Right.
Is there watching Coraline again?
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Adam Cole and Maxwell Jacob Friedman.
Baby.
And this this can they coexist storyline has bucked pretty much every trend in wrestling, hasn't it?
I mean, it's the best thing on AEW TV right now. Yeah. In that, we did hear rumblings after Double or Nothing that Cole was going to be the next in line for the AEW world title in terms of like having a shot at the belt. They have their world title eliminator match that ends in a draw. Excellent 30-minute time limit draw. Yeah. And then they chuck MGF and Adam Cole together and it's just sort of barrel rolled from there. They've won the Blind Eliminator tournament. And I mean, it was just this last weekend where you finally had the tag team title match against FTR. And we're all sat there thinking, good, well, surely the turn's coming now, but we don't know who it's going to be. It's going to be somebody. It's going to be lovely. And they don't have the turn. MGS is a full on baby face giving out pizza to kids. Adam Cole and him start hugging. Like, I don't want it to end.
It's so fun, right? It's freshened up MJF, it's freshened up Adam Cole, and it's freshened up the whole main event scene of AEW.
Like, for the first time in probably, like, about 6 months, like, the world title feels like the most important thing on the TV show.
Yeah, like, it's the main it's feud, main storyline. And it's also allowing MJF to do a different feud other than the, you've got to beat all these people, I'm not going to wrestle on TV. MJF has wrestled on TV more than he has done ever.
I'm wondering if he's heard criticism from people like ourselves, mm-hmm. really, and fans, whether it's going, MJF's not wrestling enough, because he's certainly wrestled bloody loads the last few months.
Yeah, and it's been good. He's been really, really good.
It's almost like he's one of the best in the company, just doesn't wrestle enough.
And he's getting everything over that they do. T-shirts are over. The clothesline is over. You know, double clothesline is over. They've got over that as their finish. They've got over the fact that he's a jerk, but people really like him. You know, they're getting over going to the Chinese restaurant. It worked. Even the custom music.
I know, but not even that. Like, we know he hates video games. What did he call Roderick Strong? Like, a default creator wrestler.
Creator wrestler, yeah. Which is, unfortunately, spot on.
I still think the twist in the tail is coming.
Right,
he's a scorpion. You can never trust a scorpion.
No, but is Adam Cole the scorpion? This is the question. Is Adam Cole going, Max, surely you knew this was coming.
Been discussing this on the Cultaholic Wrestling podcast at some points.
Boo.
Who do you think's turning first? Just
MJF.
I think MJF.
Adam Cole. Because I think the storyline here is the one time MJF opens up and has a friend, he's the one that gets betrayed. And then that makes him double down on the devil aspect. He won't stay a face after that. He's going brutal.
Oh, no, because I think I hear what you're saying, but I think that gives undue sympathy for MJF. I think, yeah, you double down on the heel, but like, I would support him. I'd be like, mate, I'm really sorry. You finally opened up and finally were a good guy. He's a dick. Get him.
But he's not a good guy. It's just he's found someone he likes. He's a bully that's found a friend.
Okay.
If Adam Cole turns on him and goes, mate, we knew this was going to happen. you know, I wasn't using you. I genuinely like you, but at the end of the day, it's me or you. And then MJF can be like, well, the one person that I actually liked has betrayed me. You know, it makes him even more of a dick.
Okay, you're winning me around on that.
And Adam Cole's character's not changed since he was a heel. He's just had a concussion and people like him. So it's in character for him as well.
See, my idea for how this ends is to have a match with have them two in a tag match, and Cole takes a bump or something, that maybe the concussion fear comes back during the match, and the match stops. So like MJF's there, check on him. Referees come down, check on him. Then Britt Baker comes down to check on him, and then MJF just this seizes the moment, pile driver Britt Baker.
So that is seizing the moment for sure.
It's really grim, but whoa, that sets your stall out.
Adam Cole super kicks Mama Friedman.
Oh,
well, no, because Max Friedman's mom hates him.
Exactly. So Max just is like, yeah, that's fine.
In fact, I will do one. Yeah. I'll do it too.
But yeah, so the actual story was that the Adam Cole and MJF are so bloody popular and so wonderful, their Better Than You Baby t-shirt has sold more shirts than any AEW t-shirt this year. And it's the second highest grossing shirt of the year behind an MJF button-down shirt. But that's just because it costs more.
Yeah.
Wow.
They're big money. They're the LA Knight of AEW.
Like, they truly are.
Like, we'll talk All In later, but like, do they just think, fuck it, and do they do the rematch at All In? That's your main event is Adam Cole and MJF beat FTR for the belts. And you keep this going for like 6 months longer? Do you decide to just do the world title match?
I wanted them to win the belts on Collision and go to AEW All In as opponents, but also tag team champions.
Yeah, like
stay,
friends.
Yeah, stay friends. And then from there, you can go All Out. They lose the belts and then there's the turn. Because the All Out won't need a major world title match to sell it if you've got like the story from All In a week before. You know,
yeah,
it's tough. There were a weird area for what is a title match and what show.
It's sort of nice for the first time, probably ages. We're all sort of looking at AEW and TV and going, "Where's this going to go?" Mm-hmm. Like, we've got our theories, but it could go 3-4 different possible directions, really.
Yeah,
I could tell you where Impact Wrestling is going. To the United Kingdom.
Hey, every company's want a piece of the United Kingdom.
Yeah, come on over. The water's fine.
They forget there's a cost of living crisis on, but we've all got money for wrestling.
Oh, well, we've got money for wrestling. Sod food. We've got wrestling. So a major announcement. Almost a decade since they last were here. Impact Wrestling are back in Blighty, Aiden.
They are. Not only are they back in Blighty, they're back in Toon.
They're in the Toon! So have we had Impact in the Toon before?
Never.
Never Impact in the
never
Toon.
Never ran Newcastle.
Should just be doing St. James's Park.
There should be. Well, this is a surprising thing, but we'll get to it. We heard little inklings beforehand. Just on the river of rumours.
On the Tyne.
Rumour has it.
But we heard, and then the announcement came, Impact are returning to the UK this year for their UK Invasion Tour. The tour begins finally in Scotland. Maybe Drew McIntyre will be there. But but at the O2 in Glasgow, Scotland, on Thursday, the 26th of October, from there, Impact will take a short trip to Newcastle upon Tyne. Cool, where not only are they coming to Newcastle upon Tyne on Friday, October 27th, but they're going to the Walker Activity Dome.
Yes!
And of course, North Wrestling have just ran there, but it's bongous to me as like a Geordie boy, the idea that all these people aren't going to like... They're not going to the town centre. They're not going maybe slightly outside. They're going, fuck it, we're going to go to Walker, one of the roughest parts of Newcastle.
Right.
Where the things next to it will be, it's like, can we get any food nearby? It's like, now we've got a kebab shop and we've got a place that'll sell you £10 tabs.
that's pretty much it.
That's basically all it is at Walker. But they're running Walker, and from there they'll end the tour with a show in Coventry at the HMV Empire on Saturday, October 28th. All three events will begin at 7 p.m. British summer time if it's not raining. And tickets go on sale, this week.
On Friday.
August 4th, through Impact Wrestling's website, and they'll be from £35.
And it starts at 7, Tom, not 7:30.
So, yeah, noted. Yeah. I don't want to miss Trish's opening bid again.
Talent set to be in action are Alex Shelley, Impact World Champion, Moose, Eddie Edwards, Deonna Purrazzo, Frank Kazarian, Brian Myers, Ace Austin, Chris Bay, Joe Hendry.
Local hero.
There we go. Glado.
Yes, get in.
For the first time in years. I think if they heard Al Snow beat them in like 2017,
yeah,
I don't know.
Like
and there'll be special appearances from Tommy Dreamer and Gail Kim.
Now, in order to bring this to life, Impact Wrestling have partnered with independent promotions based in the UK. At Coventry, they're working with the fabulous people at Wrestle Carnival, who run the HMV Empire on the regular. Yep. Gary Ward runs a fantastic show in that part of the West Midlands. They had a show just on Sunday, which had a banger main event with Chris Ridgway and Emerson Jane, among others. They get stars from over from America in the West Midlands as well. Big fan of what Wrestle Carnival do, and I really want to put them over before I put over the fact that Newcastle will be partnering, Impact will be partnering Newcastle with North fucking Wrestling. Who? North Wrestling!
North Wrestling.
Where Fraser Porter is backstage interview extraordinaire, and where I and Vader Scott provide commentary for Fight Plus.
And I go in for free.
And you get in for free.
Yep.
Which is good. This is a really good shout by Impact. It's a way that assures that there will be there'll be sort of grassroots on the ground support for when they come in, and it's also a statement of intent where they're not here to run a show against promotions. They actually want to work in synchronicity with promotions. I've had it on authority that the talent from Wrestle Carnival, the talent from North, and whoever's running the Glasgow one, I don't know yet.
Yeah.
But there will
ICW
be.
Maybe?
I would assume it would be, but I wouldn't want to. Don't quote me on that. Mm. But the talent from those companies will be represented during that show as well. This is the best way to run a tour of this ilk. You're not running against; you're running with.
And it also allows them to like not have to port over as much stuff. Like you've got a ring with the local teams, you know, and you've got all that sort of stuff.
That ring announcers,
stuff like that backstage. Call me Scott. Viewers. You've got Aiden who wants in for free.
I'll go for nothing.
Aiden can write about you on the website.
So it's exciting. I'm buzzing to see Impact.
That's the thing we don't know. We don't know how the show's going to be. Like when they did their Australia tour, it was that they did basically a pay-per-view. So they might do a similar thing where they just do like a bit free mini pay-per-views or maybe TV tables. We just don't really know yet.
And there's an opportunity with the Glasgow one at the O2 to have Alex Shelley defend the Impact title against Joe Hendry. Or whoever's the champion at that point, defend against Joe Hendry.
Yeah.
Or even have Joe Hendry walk in as Impact champion.
I mean, it would be a way to do it in having a UK tour and being like, it's a UK guy, he's the world champ. But I think having him challenging Glasgow's the best option. And then have they got anyone from Newcastle? Get packing.
They could do Leon Slater.
Leon Slater, yeah. I'm excited to see what they do. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they use the local talent.
Yeah, like when they announced it, I legitimately thought they'd pick like bigger venues, and the idea that these are like 1,500, 2,000 seat venues. But I think I was reading about Impact starting the UK, and I think this is probably part of the strategy. Is when they first came to the UK in 2008, they did small venues, but because they sold out instantly, they then went, we're going to run much bigger venues and we'll come again in 2009. So I think part of it is we haven't been here in nearly 10 years. Let's just test the water, see what it's like. Especially when they don't really have a TV deal in the UK. They're on DAZN 1 HD, which is like part of a Sky subscription. It's quite hard to access. Apart from that, you've got to subscribe to DAZN or Impact Wrestling Plus. Like, I mean, they used to be on Channel 5, but they're not really there anymore either. So I think let's just test the waters and then go from there.
But also with the venues that they're running, like they're venues the venues that these other promotions run, like O2, ICW. ICW tends to run the O2 again.
They'll do the O2 or they'll do the Garage, one of the two. But the O2 certainly is a great venue for it. I want to say probably you'll get just over 1,000 people in there. Maybe with a wrestling ring, maybe not. But it'll be big. Walker Dome, we know that's
proof of concept there, that you can run a really big show.
You know, you can fit at least 700 and comfortably probably more if they wanted to. HMV Empire, never been.
Again, very much like with the Walker Dome, you could Wrestle Carnival run there on the regular. So there's proof of concept that a wrestling show can run there and run there to a high production level.
Apparently it's outdoors.
The Empire.
They had a photo, so it's not. I got that wrong. But it was a photo op that they used was an outdoor area
around
outside it. It was like they had a thing, and I guess a green area or a parking bit where they had a show set up out there, and that's the photo they used as the thing. So it's like, that's outside.
We were terrified. You can't run
outside. Running an outdoor show in October.
That's not a good look. We should mention, actually, before we go into the next bit, this seems like a pertinent place to say, fucking get in there for July news. Get in there, North Wrestling. Thunderstruck was fucking fantastic.
Belt a show.
Oh, yes.
Biggest show that North Wrestling's ever run. North Wrestling has been a show that has run since the return from the pandemic, out of the Anarchy Brewery just outside of Newcastle. Before that, it ran the Riverside on the Quayside. It's the biggest show. It was a massive gamble for Andrew Bowers, the promoter. And it genuinely felt like a night where the good guys won. That's the best way I can describe it. It felt like a night where the good guys won. Everybody gave their A game. We had some great import talents from likes of Gangrel and Scotty Too Hotty and Mercedes Martinez. Joey Janela was there. And it was just a up and down, top to bottom, fab show.
Like, legit, like, we watch so much wrestling. But, like, this show was up there as one of, like, the top, like, 10 best I've watched this year.
Wow, yeah, absolutely.
Dave Meltzer needs to get watching that.
He does.
I sent Dave the results and all the details, and he's done nothing with it.
Should have sent them to Fightful.
Well, yeah. I did.
I think they would have covered.
Sent it to Jeremy Lambert. Lambert, man.
He needs to fight. That was a five-star match between Leon and Liam.
Oof, so good. If you missed it, it's on Fight Plus. Do check that out. It's amazing. Vince McMahon-flavoured news that came out of nowhere in the past week.
Yeah, so we all just sat there. Saturday morning, wake up, and he's had spinal surgery. Not only spinal surgery, life-altering spinal surgery. But I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. We don't know yet. But
well, normally, am I right in thinking if they say life-altering, it's never positive?
But it might be in this case, in the sense that for all we know, Vince could have been in a wheelchair. Yeah. He had the surgery, now he could walk.
It really depends on the situation going in, how he was. But life-altering, yes, at first thought, that's a negative. But yeah, it could be he can now walk again or whatever.
All we know is it took 5 hours. Big surgery. I mean, my nana had a triple bypass in 2004 and that took 6 hours.
Bloody hell.
So
Vince is rushing to get
it. Yeah.
It wasn't as long as your nana.
Can't have it longer than Aiden's nana.
Get it done in 5. Get it done in... I don't want any anaesthetic.
So it just shows how major the surgery was, really, that he's had this proper big surgery.
Yeah.
He'll be back at Ronit. No, we don't know when he'll be back.
Well, that was the creative
He probably is. It's Vince McMahon. He probably left the hospital and went straight to Raw.
Well, I suppose the creative implications was, is he gone? Because somebody on Twitter argued that, basically going, there's no way Vince has put Ricochet and Logan Paul on first on Raw, because the last month's just been Judgment Day every day.
Yeah.
And this time it's like, no, we'll do Ricochet. It's like, oh, that might mean Trips is back. It's like, we just don't know, do we?
Yeah.
We'll probably find out more as August rolls on.
We know that Trip last Monday, before the spinal surgery, because we came out on Saturday.
Yes.
That it happened, but it was the previous week.
Mm.
We know that the Triple H wasn't at Raw that past week. That was Bruce Pritchard that ran it. So, it's hard to tell who's running which show at the moment with Vince out of action for the foreseeable, I guess.
One thing that is taking place, whether Vince gets back on his feet or not, is AEW All In 27th. They are at Wembley Stadium. The media hullabaloo began in earnest. In the dying embers of July, I'll talk about my side of that. But get us up to speed with where we're at with All In.
So I thought it was apt to end the end of July podcast on the biggest thing coming in August. I mean, when it was first announced in April May time, we all discussed it on this podcast. We sort of gave our own predictions. I think we were pretty optimistic, I thought, at the time. I think we said like around 60,000-70,000, that sort of number. So we were looking pretty good compared to some people. But AEW just blown that out the water some more. So we find out last Friday, this is from Dave Meltzer, that AEW has distributed 76,929 tickets, with 70,400 of them being paid for. So they've been getting some comps in, but who doesn't?
Yeah.
And what we find out just this morning, August 1st, so we're technically lying a bit here, but we'll fuck it, it doesn't matter, is that WrestleTix has said that 77,470 tickets have been distributed for All In, which now leaves AEW around 3,230 tickets away from the all-time record for a paid attendance show. Of course, the North Korea one, they all got in for free and were forced to go, from what we know.
Yep.
What we know. But 2016's WrestleMania 32, there was 80,709 fans in attendance. So AEW, and this goes back to the Money in the Bank thing, could have the biggest show in pro wrestling history.
Legitimately
in the UK.
And they haven't announced a single fucking match.
I know.
That's the thing, is that over the next few weeks, if they announce some matches, that could shift well into the 80,000.
Yeah.
It's just bonkers, though, that, like, because AEW have gotten the habit of this where when they first started doing it, particularly in 2021, they would announce the matches, like, well, like, about a month in advance, you'd know what was coming on this card. And it was at least teased. But they had Dynamite this week. We thought, okay, it'll get rolling after Blood and Guts, that sort of thing. We had Dynamite last week. There was nothing announced for the show.
Yeah.
Like certain stuff was teased, like John Moxley's clothesline Orange Cassidy. But we're 3-4 weeks away, and I've still got no idea what they're going to do with CM Punk, FTR, Kenny Omega, The Bucks, Hangman. Like, the top stars, MJF and Adam Cole were sort of looking, like, we discussed that, but we don't know whether it could be a tag match or whether that could be an actual world title.
To be fair,
match.
Though, looking at WWE aspect of it, they have a pay-per-view every 4-5 weeks.
Mm.
And we don't know what's going to be on the show until like 3 weeks before, 2 weeks before. We can guess some of them, and it seems
logical. Yeah, we can get an inkling.
But WrestleMania, you know well ahead of the time what's coming.
Yeah, I would say, yeah, about 3 weeks. But this isn't their, this is a special new one. This isn't their WrestleMania.
But my argument is this should be their WrestleMania.
It should be, yes.
Because I don't think they're ever going to do a bigger show than this.
Yeah.
So this should be like, this is what's coming. It's going to be huge. Like, just chuck everything at it.
Maybe Dynamite this week is the one that they start.
If they don't announce, if we get to the end of this week and they've announced nothing again, I'm going to be livid.
Yeah.
And yeah, just there's been a lot of rumblings as to what we could see, though.
Yeah. So rumors that we've heard is that we're going to get Will Ospreay versus Chris Jericho. That's planned for the show. And this was just this morning as well. Andrade's challenged Malakai Black to a singles match. One thing we unfortunately will not be getting is we were all hoping after Double or Nothing is that Jamie Hayter would be back in time for All In. But what we've heard is that it'll be a miracle if she's back in time for All In. And she's not actually expected to be back this year.
Oh, jeez.
Brutal. Because she's what, their top?
She's the top person.
Top UK star for the women's division, at least, anyway. But she's one of the top UK stars in general for them. And yeah, it sucks that she's going to miss out on it. Because it felt, for me, it was a case of, right, she'll get the big moment back when she beats Toni Storm for the belt in Wembley.
It's just not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
But it's okay, because I think I know which star from this green and pleasant land is going to get a shine at Wembley. Based on my day yesterday down in London. Down in the big city. First time in the big city.
Well, tell us about it, Tom.
So, Jeff Jarrett was doing media in London.
Who?
Yesterday. Exactly.
Ain't he great?
Ain't he? You know what? He was great. He was great. He's a good sport.
Ooh, so how many sugars does he have in his tea?
He didn't have any.
Oh.
Did he have tea?
Yeah, black, no sugar. We did afternoon tea for him. So we took down afternoon tea and we had cakes and sandwiches and stuff. And he likes a black tea, so just no sugar. I was even mother. I said, I'll be mother. Poured him a lovely cup of tea.
What sandwiches did he have?
He didn't have any of them.
Oh, I didn't eat
anything. He was like, hey, look at this. You have one of these moldy ass sandwiches. I said, they're not moldy. I bought them an hour ago. Livid. It's a very decadent afternoon. Yeah. Now, I nipped out to go and get the bits for the sandwiches. Mm. As I came back into Live Nation, where the interviews took place, who was on reception? It's yourself! It's bloody Grado, isn't it? So I was like, bloody hell, mate, Tom, what are you doing here? It's like, big hug with Grado. And I was like, that's class. And he said, this has come together quite late. I'm part of that. I'm going with Jeff to go and promote All In TalkSport. I'm like, oh, get in. So we're chatting away. And they leave to go to, after we have our time with Jeff, you can watch it on the YouTube channel very soon. They head off to TalkSport. And you might have seen the video by now. And it's during this interview on TalkSport, Grado making a few little jokes at Jeff's expense, saying, oh, I like Jeff. You know, he reminds me of my uncle, of my Auntie Jackie. Yeah. Jeff takes exception to being compared to Grado's Auntie Jackie, slaps him in the face, and twats him with a guitar on live on Hawksby and Jacobs on Talk Sport, to which the lads respond by just yucking it up. Like it's the funniest thing they've ever seen. So I'm putting this out there. Whilst Grado is planned to be part of the Impact UK tour, I think we're getting Jeff Jarrett versus Grado at Wembley.
But they're going to have a match.
I think we're getting Jarrett and Grado.
I was saying this morning. Out of UK talents that are independent in the scene that's more mainstream, Grado's one of them. And if Tony Khan can license Madonna and Like a Prayer, his entrance in Wembley,
yes,
everyone will sing it. Like it's a more well-known song than any other theme that they've got. You know, like people would sing it. People would know who Grado is because of, if you've got folk from around the UK, even if you're not a wrestling fan, you know Grado.
Like, yeah. Grado was the biggest star of the British wrestling scene for years. But, like, my argument was, if you can't get, like, a prayer, fuck it, don't put him on. But if you get, like, a prayer,
do it,
get him down.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because life is a mystery.
Everyone must... So that's my first pick for a match, Jeff Jarrett versus Grado. Ooh. I think we'll get that on the undercard. And I like it a lot.
Yeah, pre-show. Or you like, open our...
No, I think we put it in the middle of the show. Or you put it just for the main event.
Yes, everyone gets a big pop. Everyone's
happy.
Jeff Jarrett main eventing, because I'm gonna turn it off after that match.
imagine if Vanalso matches for it. Imagine if the main event is Jarrett versus Grado, and then we get Andrade versus Malakai Black, and then QT Marshall versus Will Hobbs.
No, we're not getting QT
and
Marshall.
And then Tony Carr walks out and goes, "Eat a dick, UK."
We're getting Jim Ross versus Ian Riccaboni.
Because this is one of the things as well, though. Like, this could, like, my fear is that AEW, this could be a really big missed opportunity for AEW, because what we're also hearing is that's going to air on pay-per-view, including in the UK now. So I'm like, we've been talking for months thinking, imagine they get it on ITV.
Put it on ITV where AEW currently is. Stick it on like a Saturday evening on ITV.
Yeah, like ITV4.
Great.
Like, what's on ITV4 on a Saturday evening? Fucking Poirot or something?
Probably Ant and Dec or something.
Yeah.
Oh, no,
ITV4. Can't cancel Poirot. Poirot's too good. But it's on a Sunday, right? So what's ITV here on a Sunday?
Poirot.
I'm buzzing for all
this. Sorry, you.
I'd love it. I'd love it, because it'd be great to have all those people on Twitter going, this is all clearly fake.
But it just
all these non-wrestling fans who have just suddenly gone, how do you think this is real? I want to have all those conversations again. Yeah. They're great. They're great. Somebody on the TalkSport, I couldn't help myself, somebody on the TalkSport YouTube channel put clearly fake to the guitar shop. To which I responded, with, wrestling's real, mate.
Yeah.
And he went, wrestling's as real as my dog's fifth leg. I was like, your dog's got five legs.
I'm like a horse, that
dog. Yeah, because it's full way noise dogs. A penis, that's a fifth leg.
So keep an eye on the channel for Afternoon Tea with Jeff Jarrett.
Afternoon Tea with Jeff Jarrett.
Which he recorded moments before hitting Grado with a guitar. I'm not saying I annoyed him and got him wound up, to which he went and go and hit someone else with a guitar, but he was lovely.
I was hoping he'd hit you.
I think I mentioned that to him, and he went, nah, you're not on the list today. I was like, that's a shame. But Grado was, apparently.
Next time.
He was lovely to me. Also, cultaholic.com, what tends to happen is certain stories tend to capture the imagination very randomly, don't they?
They do.
And has that happened much in July?
No.
It's really
sad.
Please click on the website. So, we need the money.
Like, we do need the money. Clearly the issue is that Jack Atkins is a very serious boy. And he's written nothing funny.
Joe Atkins!
This is Atkins' fault.
Flipping.
Like, as we know, I love a good bit of bollocks.
You do like bollocks.
You do love a good bit of bollocks.
Some of the things you've written about since I've come back is, well, this is bollocks, but like, stories that are a bit out there. We've done armed robbery.
We have, yeah.
And we've done pornography.
We have, yeah. And also, Cody Rhodes beating Tears of the Kingdom.
Yes. Oh, fuck. I forgot about that.
Literally last night.
Well, technically, it was the 1st of August. But, yeah. Dead on midnight.
I'm sorry, guys.
But the reason they're not on the list is purely because they didn't do very well numbers-wise.
The porn story, I think, is worth a quick dip into.
Okay.
So this is the story.
I don't know what you're dipping into.
Well, hey, this is the story of the tag team, the Bang Brothers.
The Bang Brothers.
Who have been capturing the imagination of people. They're Black Label Pro Tag Team Champions.
Fucking Davey Bang.
Davey Bang.
What a name that is.
He's great. And they received a cease and desist from Bang Bros. Inc., who are the adult entertainment company.
Yes.
It is a naughty website where people get their clothes off and fall in love.
What's that?
What love? love is when two people really like each other a lot and don't mind the one taking a massive Chipotle shit in the other's toilet.
That's love.
Fair.
That is love.
They talked about it on Fraggle Rock.
Why do you think him and Richard have broke up?
We've not broke up. Yeah.
Sorry, Rachel.
What a way to find out. Yeah, so they received a cease and desist from Bang Brothers. So they're now they reacted to this by saying, come to the Freelance Pro Show this weekend and have a photo taken with our cease and desist letter for $10.
Yeah.
So I think that's how their country got the money to fight the illegal battle.
I mean, it's not independent wrestling. There's not a few, if they're not griffing, is it?
Oh, God, yeah. The art of the grift. Big fan of it.
Yeah. Armed robbery, that story.
So this was the story. This was CMLL, wasn't it?
Because, of course, it's Mexico.
Of course it's Mexico.
Was that I know. But yes, of course, like mad shit happens in Mexican wrestling. Like
a lot of crazy stories come out of everywhere, but in particular in the Mexican wrestling scene.
Yeah, so you had these innocent ticket inspectors like counting the money and all this sort of shit, and two men just went in and robbed them. And then apparently a family turned up to try and buy tickets, noticed there was a robbery happening. The father figure, we assume is the father, but there was no confirmation. He tried to walk in and they just went, stop being stupid. And so he went, yeah, fair enough. And
I'll catch the next show.
But we think $10,000 was stolen, American.
Oh,
so a big chunk of change.
Big chunk of change.
But that was nowhere near as good as the actual one story I've got written down.
Right.
So TNA's Shark Boy appeared on AWTV.
He certainly did.
Yeah.
Shark Boy. Yeah. But not normal Shark Boy. And I'm delighted to report he is still Stone Cold Shark Boy.
Yeah. Oh, was he Stone Cold
he
Shark
had the,
Boy?
Yeah, the Stone Cold. So this was the gimmick that Kevin Nash gave him in TNA to make him a bit more accessible. Because being a half man, half shark just isn't wacky enough. Let's make him Steve Austin as well.
So he appears in a backstage segment on Dynamite promoted Shark Week, Chris, of course, and he was there with the week's mascot, Chompy. Yeah. Taz did not like Chompy.
He was not a fan, was he?
Keep that guy away from me.
Taz owes Chompy $20.
It's just like a high-fiving Tony Schiavone.
I like Chompy. Chompy's
a lovely lad.
He is a lovely lad. He should be on Natkin's list of lovely lads.
He should. Not as good as Yoshi. But he's up there. He's the big lad, isn't he, Yoshi?
He's the arm moving gets me every time. Whenever you...
The big lad.
I just don't see the appeal of crossing sharks in wrestling, I'll be perfectly honest. just don't get it. Delighted to see Shark Boy back on telly, though. We don't see him so much anymore because he sued the film company for making Shark Boy and Lava Girl.
He just minted, didn't
and
he?
Was minted.
One, yeah.
Doesn't need to do anymore.
I mean, he pops up at like Impact every now and then, like Battle Royals and stuff. But I mean, I think he's like 40 odd as well.
He does the gigs he wants to do. Yeah. And AEW said, do you want to come for Shark Boy?
He's got to swim in the sea.
Fair Fox. Yeah.
Come for Shark Week? That sounds like a plan.
They missed a trick here, though. Where was the Shark Cage match? Like, why was no one suspended above for me? They could have done Jeff Jarrett in
was
a shark cage.
Blood and Guts week as well.
Even better, you could have had don't
one
know.
Of them in a cage.
Yeah, because they had that, it's past, didn't they?
Yeah.
Where they put them in a cage before the match, but they just had entrances this
time. Yeah, they just had entrances.
Missed a trick there.
Oh, they really did. So that's July in the world of professional wrestling. Fraser Porter, anything that you want to plug? I know that you have gone into the weeds on an old... terrible SummerSlam.
Yes, so there's the worst shows ever on the channel right now. It's SummerSlam 1996. That's already out. So that came out just on Sunday, so I'm going to check that out. I don't think there's anything else I need to plug. Fridays, catch me Friday on Twitch. We're streaming The Outer Worlds to prepare for Starfield.
Ooh.
Yeah, so 6 p.m. Friday.
Anything you want to plug, Aiden?
Just please go to the website. I need to stay employed.
There's much cleaning to be done.
Yeah.
But click on cultaholic.com. Every time you see an article, just click it and then tweet it and then retweet it saying thank you, Aiden.
Especially if it's silly bollocks.
Oh, yes.
Especially if it's silly bollocks. If you click on the silly bollocks, we'll keep writing about it.
Yeah.
So hence why today what we've got is going out later will be Minoru Suzuki channels his inner Brad Pitt. We'll wrestle on a bullet train.
Fantastic.
Nice.
And we'll find more bollocks through the week, I'm sure.
There certainly will be. It is SummerSlam week, which means you have 9 pitches for SummerSlam 2023 on the way on the Cultaholic podcast feed and on the Cultaholic YouTube channel. We also have predictions for SummerSlam, live reactions with Adam and Andrew for SummerSlam on Saturday night. You have What Happened At with Jack and the WTF moments with Ross. It is SummerSlam week, baby. Get excited. And there'll be no doubt other SummerSlam themed content already waiting for you on the Cultaholic YouTube channel. On the pod, I'll give this a plug today. There was an episode of Raw in 1998 where Kane ran in on pretty much every match.
Does he?
We talk about it. Did a whole video on it.
Good.
It's a good time. YouTube.com/Cultaholic. And of course, for the latest wrestling news throughout the day, forever click on cultaholic.com. We have been Fraser Porter.
See
you. We've been Aiden Gibbons.
OG.
And I have been OG, Aiden Gibbons. And I have been Tom Campbell. We'll see you later, aggregator. Hey!
The notorious AID.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods
for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.